Well, good morning, everyone.
I love it when we can see more people. I am so thankful that God does take care of all of us. I love the fact that He is our shelter in the time of storm, especially during these times. You know, it's tumultuous. And thankful that we can look to Him. He can give us wisdom and direction. That's what I pray with these lessons. I know Pastor does, and Brother Chris when he's presenting, and Brother Brian. All of us, you know, we pray, Lord, help us through these. You know, smooth it out. Because sometimes we look at things and we don't fully understand them, and He gives us so much wisdom in looking into His Word. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll see what our next verse does for us. Father, we do again thank You. Thank You for Your loving kindness. And Father, that You are that shelter in a time of storm. Father, we can, in this world, run into issues that cause us problems and turmoils, and yet You can smooth them down for us. You can make them easy. You can show us how to make it through if we have to endure through that. Father, sometimes You even just take them away, knowing that we might not be able to handle that on our own. But Father, I thank You that we can look into Your Word. We know the truth that's there. We apply it to our lives, realizing that You wrote that book for us, for the individual. You show us so many different examples, so many people that were not perfect. But Father, they looked to You, knowing that You guided and You directed them through their walk on this earth. Father, we do thank You for the truth. We thank You for Your loving kindness. And we do pray that You'll have Your will and Your way through this lesson, as well as the morning services. Father, we do pray and ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So verse 5 of Philippians 4 we're going to look at today. And it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now the question, you know, when you see the word moderation, what comes to mind? Anybody got, now Brother Chris, you don't get this yet, because I know exactly what you're going to say. No. Lisa?
Self-control.
Self-control, you know, and you know, you think moderation or moderate, you know, it could be, you know, when you think of somebody that's a conservative versus a liberal, and somebody's a moderate. To the conservative, they're sort of the enemy. To the liberal, they're sort of they're in the middle of the road, fence straddlers. You know, that could be in some ways thinking that. But you know, when we think about somebody that's a moderate, even tempered, or they do things in moderation, we're going to look at Galatians 5 in a bit, but you think of the fruits of the Spirit, and every one of them talk about, you know, kind of being moderate in how you approach things. You think of, for instance, an Olympic athlete. You don't think of them as a moderate in the way they approach it with fervor, or a professional player, that's their livelihood. Whereas, you know, maybe somebody that likes to do the same type of thing, we might approach it in a moderate way. You know, sometimes I approach certain things without moderation, and I suffer for it the next day. I used to laugh at some of the folks in the military. We get ready for our physical training. Fortunately, thankfully, I was sort of in shape then, but it was fun to watch the guys that would go out with this energy. You know, it's only a mile and a half run, but about halfway through, most of them fell over because they started out with gusto, and the rest of the time they said, "Well, I got plenty of time. I think I can walk to the rest of the way through and make it back in time to meet whatever requirement was." But yeah, moderation. You know, here it's interesting, and when we look at the title for this section, is to be gentle. Is that what you were going to say, Brother Chris? I know. Well, I tease him because I think do you have your interlinear text with you today? He sometimes opens up the Philippians. He's got his Greek interlinear there, and And that's why I like when he talks. He gets all the nice, meaty words. But we're going to kind of look at that today. And, you know, how is this word moderation used? And here it was translated, moderation is to be gentle. Or as one guy put it, let your sweet reasonableness be manifest to all men. That's kind of a nice way to look at it. And the translators, I mean, you know, a lot of words have a lot of meanings. And the translators, when they came here, looked at this and realizing let your moderation, in other words, they weren't extreme. They didn't want them to be extreme. And when you approach things, they wanted them to be gentle. And in fact, the other times, looking up in my nice Strong's, said that it's translated the same word as moderation here in Philippians 4:9, gentle in Titus 3:3, James 3:17, and 1 Peter 2:18, and then patient in 1 Timothy 3:3. And it's interesting how that approaches looking at, you know, verse 3 where we or verse 4 where we started, or 3 where we started out with the ladies, where these ladies had their conflict and they had an issue and was asking that let your moderation be known to all men. And it's a kind of a guide in that we as Christians need to be gentle in our approach with other Christians that might not fully agree with this and not create strife, and to let us kind of be merciful in some ways to realize that, you know, that person sees things this way, I see them this way, can we talk about that and understand and maybe, you know, have an agreement in there, but not to fight about it as obviously these two women did. But, you know, when we look at Titus 3:2, for instance, it says to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And, you know, it's like how a pastor or a leader in a church should be. And we look at our pastor and we look at that. You know, he's not a brawler. I don't think you've gotten any bar fights lately, have you, Pastor? No? Okay. Meekness, showing meekness to all men. I think if you sat down with him long enough, you'd realize how humble the person is. And again, going back to this group, I know all of us don't agree on everything, but when we sit down, we can talk things through. And I love when, you know, after the pastor brings a sermon or a lesson, questions come up and say, you know, I saw it this way, and it's always nice with that direction. And then James 3:17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And that lends right into today, this moderation. We're not to be hypocrites in how we approach things. Oftentimes we might be called hypocrites because the world sees things one way and they determine that no matter what we do, it's hypocritical. And it's an outward appearance. That's what approaching things as Christians. And it's sad that humans look on people and the first time they see somebody, they'll make a judgment. Nice thing about oftentimes we keep it to ourselves, but there's a few people out there that will tell you exactly how they feel when they first see somebody, and when that person points out to them that they're not the way that they look, the other person kind of gets politely put in their place. I mean, a lot of people with our past lives, there's some sins that we have to live through our lives with. You know, I think of, let's just pick on a biker, for instance. You know, the typical biker, they've got, you know, a lot of times tattoos. They probably dress very roughly or very casually. They might have dealings with things that we would consider not appropriate. But yet, what happens when a person gets saved? Well, if God doesn't erase the tattoos, for instance, He might not erase some of the scars that we have in our lives. He works with us to get us where he wants. A lot of us, we immediately didn't jump into a nice suit or a nice dress, you know, get our hair cut appropriately. You know, we didn't hide anything that we had from previous. But he brings us through that. But when some people in the world see that, they go, oh, you're not, you can't be, you've got to be one of those kind of people and label you. And oftentimes Christians do the same thing. We label other people based on what we see. And then once we get to know them, all of a sudden we politely could be put in our place. And if we're honest with ourselves when we find that out, and we talk with that person and say, you know, when I first met you, this is what I thought. And I'm so thankful that I now know you and understand you better. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's how we should approach some things. We're gentle in that approach. Don't walk up and go, boy, you know, when I first met you, you were, well, maybe the person's personality would allow you to get away with saying that to them, but you don't really jump up there and try to be offensive, you know. And it's, you know, as one definition is, gentle is mild, inoffensive. And here it's, you know, moderation and how we do it. And so it's a virtue. What comes down to them, and the fact when you read through the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperate. Well, you could just lump that all into what the term moderation falls into. It's gentle. You know, when it's always fun to watch children and animals. And, you know, when pups are around or kittens or anything, it's always fun to watch a little one, you know, not knowing how to be gentle with them, you know, carrying them upside down, throwing them over their shoulder. Our great-granddaughter just got a puppy dog. Fortunately, the dog's bigger than, going to be bigger than she is, so it'll be fun to watch and see how she carries him around. It's a Weimaraner, so that'll be really interesting. But it's always fun to watch little ones. They're as gentle as can be, but boy, I tell you, if you look at, you know, how they might carry that animal's just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to put up with this. And they get a very gentle approach. But that's one thing to be called a gentle person, gentle man, gentle woman, you know, to be recognized that way and how we handle ourselves or handle our affairs. Like I said, before I got saved, I was a scrapper. I would love to argue with somebody, you know, if I thought my point was strong, I would battle with them, yelling and screaming. I'd wrestle with people, you know. Being on a submarine, locked in underway with 130 some people for several days on end, or weeks or months, depending on the operation, you kind of have to learn how to get along. And you learn how to approach things. If you have a disagreement, you just can't leave that person. You will see them eventually. I don't care who they are, you will see them. You know, it might be hours, it might be a day or so, but you will see them again. And if you haven't settled it, they'll remember, or you'll remember. And I can point to several times that I had that. A friend of mine, we were just laughing about military retirement, and I knew this guy when he was first class like I was, but he was about 6'3" or 6'4". But he always walked a wide berth around me because he knew I exercised and worked out and didn't care how big the person was. If they upset me, I would let them know. Afterward, I met him several years later. He'd become an officer. He was our weapons officer on the next ship that I was on. And he saw a complete difference. And he'd realized what had happened. You know, that I'd gotten saved, accepted Christ as my Savior. He hadn't really changed his lifestyle. But I did let him know that I was not pleased with his lifestyle. But we talked about that, and he, you know, of course he let me know. He said, well, you get a little religion and you just kind of get all uppity about things. And we talked after a while, and when we left, I mean, we were still friends. We could sit and talk about things. But I let him know about life and actually talked to him about the Lord. And since then, I've gotten several bits of Facebook back and forth. His life has changed a whole lot, too. He's never come out and said that he might have gotten saved. Because I know, talking with his cousin, that they grew up in the church. but I don't know. But now when we talk, it's very much easier. I don't have to be cautious around him, or he doesn't have to be cautious around me. You know, and as, like Apostle Paul said, you know, this is now Paul, I beseech myself, you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, and am being absent, am bold toward you, with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the meekness and gentleness. 2 Corinthians 10:1. And as Christians, that's how we should approach ourselves, is with meekness and gentleness. And it's only through Christ that we know that. Some people, they can, you know, have a nice demeanor and present themselves as very cautious. And if they're not saved, they're doing it on their own. But you can always find that little chink in the armor. Christians that do the same thing, that don't ask the Lord to guide and direct them, will have a chink in their armor. You can see through them a lot of times. And we'll see how that works, because you can see how, when they approach people, how they talk with people, you can see them. They may never exhibit that gentleness, but those that are being led by the Lord show that gentleness, and may not be as abrupt in some things. Now, some people, just in how they talk, them, you might see them as being abrupt, and if you talk with them a bit, you find out, oh, okay, that's just their tone of voice, or how they approach things. You know, you think at 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, talking about a Christian's approach for your employer. Sometimes you got a good one, sometimes you got a bad one. How's our approach? Well, some masters were very gentle and they took care of their people. But others are not so nice to work with. You probably all had an employer that's been in that situation. I've had commanding officers that have been really good on one hand and then just really like, okay, we need a mutiny here. And or something. But as somebody that works for them, you need to approach them in a very gentle manner. And to show that to him, I don't care how abrasive you might be to me, I can take care of that. You know, I kind of laugh at, you know, how they always depict Marine or drill sergeants, you know, with always this bombastic, strong approach, you know, trying to burn your face off with their language and their actions. And I think of, well, Gomer Pyle, y'all remember that show there where he's just so meek and mild and he's standing there and the sergeant's just screaming and yelling at him and he's just kind of smiling away. And he gets that southern drawl in there, and next thing you know, the sergeant's just kind of, ugh, I can't get this guy no matter what. And that's almost the approach that we should have with people like that. And sometimes that happens. And then when you think about patient, in 1 Timothy 3:3 says, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Of course, we're talking again about somebody that's approaching the leadership in a church. Well, Pastor, I don't know, are you're not given to wine, are you?
Well, I got dumb though when you said that.
Oh. okay. Not a striker. Now.
Oh, it's W-I-N-E, not W-H-I-N-E.
No. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Wait a minute. We're no striker? I don't know. That, with that comment, that might create a striker. Not... Patient, that's the, not a brawler and not covetousness, you know, patience. Lord, please forgive us. No. But, you know, that's how it's used, a patient person, you know, and it's some people, you know, a parent, oftentimes, they can see their patience wearing thin. But as a Christian, the same thing can happen. We can get worn down where our patience does wear thin with somebody. But the approach to it is such that it's a modest and gentle approach to things. And what's the actual word? I had it here somewhere. see if I can pronounce it right. Epicles? Okay. You pronounce all the vowels in it, almost like a Hawaiian. You know, but it is. That's how it's translated. And those times through there just identifies it such that it's you're very moderate. You're not easygoing or not easily knocked over, for instance. But it's like that term, sweet reasonableness. When you approach things, you're very reasonable. You're measured in the approach to it. It's almost like you're analyzing before something happens. Well, like God, he's not surprised when things happen. It's how we should work our life toward. We should not be overly surprised by how something happens, especially when we're looking at in the world. And when we think about things like that, it's a beautiful trait. And as we spend the time with the Lord, praying, with fellowship with other Christians, reading the Bible, we start building that, especially when a person realizes, I need that in my life. And I know I did when I first started out. I needed to understand that it's opposite to what I needed to be. Didn't mean that I didn't give up certain things, because it took a while to knock some of the bad stuff out of there. Very opposite to unyielding, harsh, harshly dogmatic. And we're running Christians that are harshly dogmatic. And then when we talk with them, they're harsh to us for some reason. They say, wait a minute, we're supposedly brothers in Christ. You say you know Christ as your Savior. Why are you that way? Sometimes asking that person why they're that way knocks down the front a bit, and we can start talking and finding out. And all of a sudden that person might realize, I've been watching you, and yeah, you have a demeanor that I need to work with, I need to have. It only comes with time with the Lord and realizing that we can't do it on ourselves, and we need to let the meekness that Christ showed. Yeah, he got angry. Yeah, he stood up against people, but he willingly went to the cross for us. Paul was exhibiting that like-mindedness. He knew that he had to allow himself to know that he couldn't be the Paul he used to be or the Saul that he was, where he was out breathing fire and throwing people in jail and having them killed. He knew that he was going to be subject to that very thing. And it doesn't let us have a lack of intensity for something. We can be very passionate. I think of each one of us, we probably have a hobby or something that we're very passionate about that might be moderated by what we've studied in Scripture. But yet when we do things, we approach it with a passion. I think of Brother Chris and his writing, or Sandra and her playing, and Pastor in presenting things and that, Lisa with her teaching, Austin with his ability in programming things, and just I can go around the room here, and we all have a passion that we approach things with. But how do we approach that? Moderately. We don't let it dominate us that we lose sight of the fact of, one, why we're here. And that's one of the important things. It allows us to have a conviction. And I think if somebody were to take us to task on the doctrines that we believe in, we probably would be very passionate about it, but we would approach it in a moderate way, be able to show the world that we're not hostile. We're not creating a hostile environment. The world is creating it because it doesn't like us. It doesn't like what we do. And it's going to do everything it can to dispel us. The situations that we're in here. I'm thankful that we know how some of the rules work. We know what our rights are about assembly. We also know that, we can properly meet. We can keep our social distancing. We can understand what's there. But we know the people that we're around. For the most part, we're all pretty healthy. I don't see any of us here coughing into our sleeve too badly once in a while, you know, allergy season. But, you know, we're not afraid of what's going on here. But yet we're not going to go, we're not going to go out and start a fight with somebody over the fact that we met. We would probably show them, you know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We might show them in Scripture where we meet. We can show them we're abiding by what they asked us to do. And it's amazing how the world, though, would love to just shut down every church and stop it. They want to wipe God out. Well, I got a surprise for them. They can try all they want, but guess who's going to win in the end? God wins. You know, and we know that our doctrines, principles, or practices, and we've learned it from Scripture. We've allowed Christ to dwell in us like it needs to be, to show through us, such that we have that report. John 13:35 says, "By this all men shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another." Christians, we may not agree with how somebody's presenting their services. It might be a little more liberal or more contemporary. But are they teaching Christ? Are they teaching the Scripture? There are some out there that they have a very strong commitment to making sure that people know that they're saved and they're saved for an eternity. There's others out there that are trying to teach other things. We've been going through and studies of those. But those that are out there to want to usher people into the kingdom according to Scripture, we need to be a bit patient with. We need to pray for them. And hopefully they're praying for us. And that's the beautiful thing about it. The other thing is Paul wasn't telling the Philippians, for instance, to gloss over sin or to bury conflict, but how to approach conflict. Approach it in such a way that it doesn't become a point that the world can say, look at those guys, they're fighting left and right. Oh, you know, they can't agree on nothing. So the question is, what does a watching world learn about Christ when believers let their gentleness be known? Thought? Pastor?
Well, it's a blessing that through Christ we can control the inward man.
That's right. Through Christ we can control that inward man. And we're walking examples. Oftentimes the world won't look at the Bible, but they'll look at us. And if we're consistent, and thankfully I can look here and we see that, we have others of like fellowship that we know, that's their approach too. There's some out there that are very dogmatic and angry almost in their approach, and will turn people away. But I want to think that we're going to bring people in because, one, we're not mamby-pamby. We stand up for the truth when we need to, but yet we're not out there abusing the gospel. Anybody else have another thought about, you know, what the world sees? Charles?
Just that we show the humbleness of Christ in us as well.
Right.
You know, especially in situations where normally the world would see us getting angry about something that happened to us instead.
Sure.
We don't.
Right.
And they see that change.
Right.
And notice it's something different.
Exactly. You know, they'll see that Christ is loving and gracious. That's as Christians. Yeah, some churches, and a lot of us agreed with those churches, took issue with the governor and said, listen, you're telling us to do something that, you know, the state constitution gives you a certain limit on, and you're extending that. We want to challenge that. But doing it in such a way, we're not standing in front of her with guns drawn, ready to shoot, although there are a lot of people in their mind going, oh, somebody needs to do that. And, you know, but as Christians, there's a right way to approach things, you know. Let their rules come back to them. That's why, for instance, when this order came down, we read through it. It didn't say anything you could not meet. It says you could if you want a social distance. And we had some that said stay home. And did we condemn them? No. We were rejoicing. Thankfully, we were able to even enhance that with our live streaming. So the situation here makes it such that we're trying to show the love of Christ, get the gospel out, but not to hide behind something and say, well, no, we can't ever open again. But we recognize that as Christians, we need to have that gentle approach. And this is the moderation that Paul was talking about, is to be obvious that the world would recognize, hey, that's a group that I want to find a little bit more about. They, you know, they're not angry over this thing, but they, well, they really believe in this. And this is what they teach. And you know what? They might disagree on something and they can talk it out. Doesn't seem to happen. But the whole of this is a demonstration, their moderation, so that the world could see it, because of the last bit of this phrase, the Lord is at hand. We know as Christians that at any moment, Christ could return, call us home, rapture the church. And on a cynical side, you could say the world's going to really learn fear at that point, and then look and say, those guys are right. What happened? We want to be able to show that before this happens, a person can come to Christ. They can get that saving knowledge. And it's, again, the sweet reasonableness when we approach it. You know, there are some people when they knock on a door, they're not going to leave until that person accepts Christ or shuts the door in their face angrily. Some people are just so dogmatic that they won't leave, even when they know that there's no way possible that this person is going to come to a saving knowledge. But the thing is, as one person put it, that the Lord is at hand, is it closer is he than breathing, nearer than your hands or feet. One way to look at it, it's that imminent. It could happen before we close in prayer, before our next breath. It's going to be a surprise to some, even some Christians, that it happens. So we just finished up the book of James with Pastor, but James 5, 7, and 8 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And the question from the book says, what was James exhorting his readers to do when he was talking about this? Patience, right? Wait. A farmer, when he plants a crop, we don't get the food right off the bat. Even if we buy the growing plant and put it in the ground, we have to wait for some rain. We need to wait for the harvest. But, you know, how does this compare to what the Apostle Paul was saying here? What's the comparison? Patience, right? We need to be patient in that. And we need to know that the Lord, you know, when he returns, he's going to judge us all. And he's going to look at, how did we treat others? How did we treat one another? How did we represent Christ in our life on the earth here? And something for us to consider is, how am I going to be judged for how I treat it? Now, I know I'm going to have some answering to do over certain things. Missed opportunities. Times that I just said, Lord, I don't want to talk to that person. I'm afraid to. Or maybe that person maybe intimidated me in an earlier part of my life and I didn't want to talk to them. I said, I won't let them rot. No, that's not how we should approach it. But I know I'm going to be judged for that. How are you going to be judged when we stand before the Lord? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that we see. I thank you, Father, that you are patient with us. Father, you exhibit the example that we need to be. Father, you went to the cross on your own. You died, were buried, and raised, and overcome death, so that we would not have to go through that. And Father, I thank you that you loved us, and you give us that example through many of your saints that, as we read in the Bible and as we study, to live that life that is gentle and always, our moderation will be known to others around us. And Father, I pray that as a result, that we'll open a door that we can share the gospel with another lost person before you come to this earth and call us home. Father, we thank you for this, and we do ask it all in your Son's precious name. Amen.